Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. Reading from Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at the fourth verse. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, and bruises, and petrifying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and rams and the fat beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this of your hand, to dread my courts? Bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting, your new moons, and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So far we read God's holy word. Let's give thanks for it, a warning and a promise. Pray that we will heed the warnings in our country, and that we will then lay hold of the promise, that we will hear, as we have sung, we've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn the hearts to the right. That's what we need again so desperately. Let's pray that God will turn us and not shut his ears to our prayers, as we read here. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, he who alone is the door into thy presence of love. We come in his name, giving thanks for all that has been given. We confess, Father, that we cannot even be truly thankful without Christ, even though thou didst give him as the greatest gifts of all, and give many other things with him. We give thanks that thou hast given to us thy word, and we pray for those who have not yet heard that word, that it may soon be sent to them, those that do not possess thy holy scriptures, that it might also be given to them. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on thy word wherever it is heard, in the church and in the world. We pray it may soon bring awakening and reviving in the church, and that the church will then be once again in our nation and throughout the world, a salt and a light. Help the church to recognize now that it has become a salt that has lost its savor. And we pray that thou wilt restrain the voices of wickedness in our nation and others, the voice of the news media, the voice of other countries, the voice of the politicians that give promises and tell lies. We pray, Father, that we might be protected from the evil voices, and that we might hear thy voice once again as the voice of truth. Thy word is truth. And we pray, Father, that we might be those that will continue in that word until we know the truth, till the truth sets us free, free from our lies, free from our sin, free from our bondage, and that we might have that freedom in Christ, who alone can set us free. We pray, Father, for further leading in all things. We pray that we might recognize the many sins in our nation, especially the sins of abortion, the terribleness of it, every day the thousands being murdered. We pray for the other sins, the broken homes, the sins of denying thee as creator in the lie of evolution. And as these things are taught in the schools, we pray that thou protect the children from them. We pray that thou would teach the church the right way in the home, and that the church has been negligent and disobedient in the ways of marriage and the divorce and remarriage. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on the church to be revived, and then that the homes might also be called to repentance and called to obedience. We pray for the children in the broken homes, that thou would lead them to thy word, that they might have a true right light on their path. We pray for the needs of the sick. We pray for the needs of the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. All these, Father, that need thy blessing, we pray that it might be given to them through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we continue in Isaiah's writing, the prophet led by God to call his people to a knowledge of their sin, and especially Isaiah, as he speaks of Christ, sometimes called the Gospel of Isaiah, especially in the later chapters. Also the promises of God for Israel in the latter days that will come, that are yet to come beyond our time. Isaiah had much in the way of prophecy, but here he speaks directly to the people. We saw last week those words in verse 4, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. As we saw it true for them, we saw it also and know it true for us as well today. Many, many ways of evil. Probably like David could say, my sins are more than I can count. We have them individually. We have sins as families, the broken families especially, the sins of the church, then the sins of the nation, all together. They are very serious in our time and will bring the anger of God upon us. If there is not repentance, they will bring judgment. God has said that judgment follows, especially the way of taking the life of another. Going on to the 5th verse, a parable, a picture of the human body. That gives a picture of the spiritual Israel. The last part of the 5th verse, why will ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The body is left wounded, but nothing is done about it. If you or I had that body, any others as well, in this condition, and there was a doctor that could give healing, we would do that without question. Everyone wants their body healed. No one wants sickness or injury to continue. We are well aware of that, but when it comes to the spiritual, of which this is a picture, for Israel and for ourselves, then we're different. Why? Why don't we want the great physician? As we mentioned, Isaiah speaks of Christ, Father, in his prophecy here. And when it comes to the 53rd chapter, then we read those sad words. He is despised and rejected of men. When we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. The great physician of souls is despised and rejected. God gives us that picture of ourself in Psalm 14, Psalm 53, and Paul also repeats that and describes us in ways that are very similar to the way of the body here. He writes in Romans chapter 3, as it is written in the Psalms, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. Poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's the spiritual condition, or the lack of it. He writes, as it is written, the psalmist has written the same thing. God sees it that way. We read there in the Psalms, the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did seek God, and there were none, none that understood, none that sought God. and we're guilty in regard to the law, we're disobedient to it, and the gospel. We do not believe it. When we see it, we do not know our need of it. Christ said, when the Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin because they believe not on me. What a sad thing. The great physician of the soul. Yes, he's also the physician of the body. And people want that, but not of the soul. None that understandeth. When they were told the sickness, as Isaiah said here, they were refused. As Christ said when he was here on earth, which of the prophets have not your fathers killed? And they've stoned those who came to them. They came not only with the call to repentance, but they came with the call of the gospel, the call that gives the answer to our sick souls. That's what we need to know. But here it says, because of not hearing it, in verse 7 we read, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, a lodge in a garden of cucumbers as a besieged city. That's their condition. There were different times in the time of Isaiah, during the four different kings that we read of last week. Sometimes there was punishment. Sometimes there was just wickedness. Sometimes there was awakening and reviving, as there was in the time of Hezekiah. But for much of the time, the city and the country was like we read here in the 7th verse. Stranger, devour it in your presence. There are times when they had war with the Philistines, that the Philistines would win the wars and take over the villages, and the people would move out. They moved to the east, probably sometimes across the Jordan, to get away from the Philistines. All of that was strangers devour your land. Strangers do it in your presence. Here we have the way that Isaiah describes them, and a way that, as we said last week, we could describe our nation. We are in a terrible condition. We are those that inherited a wonderful nation from our forefathers, and we are giving it over to our children and grandchildren in a very, very destructive way. The future looks very bleak unless God intervenes, unless there's an awakening to truth once again and a return to God through Christ. That must take place if there is not going to be death and destruction. And I say death and destruction. Isaiah goes on here, verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Left us a very small remnant. When Paul quotes Isaiah, who states this here, and states in a similar way later in his prophecy, Paul says, as Isaiah said, though the number of Israel be as the sand of the sea for multitude, a remnant is saved. Many today want to picture the church as Israel, and many want to even say it is a replacement of Israel, calling it replacement theology. Would those who call it that say only a very small remnant is saved? If it was not that small remnant, the whole nation, the whole church, would be as Sodom and Gomorrah? If we want to take the likeness of Israel into the church and say the church replaces it, do we see that danger? We not only have it here and with other prophets that give warning, Jeremiah does, Ezekiel does, many of the other minor prophets do it as well, but it is also the description of the church by the Lord Jesus himself giving warning, gives warning to the first church that he writes to in Asia and says, you have left your first love. Except you repent, I will remove the candlestick. The light will be gone. The spirit will be gone. That is the message for the church. Other ones were given strong warning as well. Only two of the seven churches were commended. The rest were all given strong warning, described in very strong ways. One, you have a name that you live and are dead. So the church falls into the same category as what Judah did here when Isaiah spoke to them. Again, those words, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. If that had been 50 years ago in our country, we probably wouldn't have thought so much of it. We wouldn't have known so much of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. But today, it is everywhere. Our president has just signed a bill that allows same-sex marriage. Many things in that bill that protect it, and many things that go against any that would see that as an error. And we must see it as God sees it, both here by Isaiah, and as we see it as well, Paul writing both to the church at Rome and the church at Corinth, we see his message very plainly. When we read the message to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then writing to the church at Corinth, he says, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here we have the message. As we sang, we have a story to tell to the nations, a story that did happen, and a story that happened there at Corinth, and can happen again here. It can be, if we recognize our sin, yours and mine, and everyone else. There's a number of different sins spoken of here. Probably all of us would come under one of the heading of one of these sins, or more than one. But Paul says to them, such were some of you. It was recognized, and then washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's a story we must tell. The story of repentance toward God. The story of faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The story as Christ told the apostles to tell it on the afternoon of his resurrection, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and remission of sins in his name. That's the story that must be made known. Paul could say of himself, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. He brought the message of repentance and faith. That's what Isaiah was doing here as well. He could speak probably to that very small remnant that they would probably listen to him. Thankfully, later, that small remnant probably got greater when Hezekiah was king, and God worked in the hearts of the people. As we said last week, Hezekiah recognized it, and he knew it was of the Lord because it was done suddenly. A sudden blessing given during the time of Isaiah. How we need that today. How we need whatever is left of the small remnant. We need it revived. We need it awakened. We need it added to. Yes, the church today, the remnant, is a soul that have lost its savor. It doesn't have a voice like it did generations ago in our country. Here it says they would have been entirely destroyed if God had not left a small remnant. He destroyed the whole cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, taking Lot and his wife and children out, his wife turning back and becoming a pillar of salt. But Lot escaped with his two daughters. All others were destroyed. We not only read that here, not only read of those sins in the church at Corinth, also Paul writes of it in the letter to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 1, sins that are described. Then in verse 27 of that first chapter, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Men with men, receiving the recompense. But we know there's a danger ahead. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We are already in the darkness because we denied God as Creator, as we can read earlier in this chapter, and we are in the way of foolishness, and we are in danger of being given over to a reprobate mind. Here, these people were, in a way, very much in the way of sin there, and in such a way that even though there was a small remnant, Isaiah begins to describe the whole nation and says to them, "What is the purpose of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goat. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread in my courts?" So he did not want to receive their offerings, nor their new moons, as we can read in verse 14. "Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them." And then a very, very sad statement in verse 15. "When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Jeremiah gave somewhat the same picking when he wrote in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 44, we read, "Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayers should not pass through." When we are in a strait like we are in our country today, sometimes we think the only thing left is prayer. We are not preaching it as we should. We're not hearing it as we should. We're not obeying it as we should. But what a solemn thing it is if even prayer is refused by God. "When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." That's the fullness of what we read in Romans chapter 1. Given over to a reprobate mind. Given over. Left with such a mind that's wrong. A mind that, as Isaiah says further in the 4th chapter, "Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil." Woe. What does that word mean? I think we could say judgment will fall on those who call evil good and good evil. And when we're in such a state, we cannot come before the Lord even in prayer, nor will God hear the prayer of others for us, as in Jeremiah's time. We read that God says, "Don't pray for this people." Again, what a solemn thing. When there's not that one blessing left, prayer. We need to pray so much more than we're doing. And we certainly need to do that more and more while we can. Let's pray. Reading the second stanza from the song, "We have a story to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and the sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light."
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.